So you share bikes and bus seats, you check into a hotel, you're using the same room someone else used last night. How far does this rental business go? Would you rent some clothes for a one-time occasion, a wedding, a rented tuxedo for graduation? Nice dress. Where did you rent it?
Across many different sectors of the economy, I saw that consumers had more willingness to rent things. We see this in the music business, where we've gone from buying songs on iTunes to renting our music via services like Spotify. Or in transportation, we're using services today like Zipcar, Uber, Halo, Lyft. And we found that around 50% of an American woman's closet was comprised of things that she'd only worn once. So I saw a real opportunity for rental to become a part of the retail space.
An opportunity for Jennifer Hyman speaking there, co-founder and CEO of Rent the Runway, a company that allows brand-conscious but cash-challenged fashionistas to show up in a $1,900 Vera Wang dress for less than three Benjamins, or sport a $500 Oscar de la Renta necklace for just 90 bucks. Are consumers much more willing to consider renting over ownership these days? Arun Sundararajan is a professor at New York University's Stern School of Business and an expert in the sharing economy. He joins us today from San Francisco. Arun, welcome.
Thanks. Good to be here, John.
So what is the sharing economy writ large? It's bigger, actually, than just consumer goods.
Yes. What I find most interesting about the sharing economy are the new peer-to-peer marketplaces like Airbnb and Relay Rides and Snapgoods that are allowing people who own stuff to rent it to other people who want it for a price. And so that's the sector of the sharing economy that I think is growing most rapidly. These internet-enabled marketplaces that allow us to move from a model of ownership-based consumption to a model of shared consumption.
So it's not only people who want to have less stuff in their lives, it's also people who want to use the stuff that they have and make money off it by offering it for rental or for sharing.
Absolutely. People who want less stuff in their lives, it's people who perhaps want a greater level of choice. People who say, well, if I own something, there's just one instance of it that I own. If I buy a car, then that's my car for 3 years. If, on the other hand, I don't buy a car and I choose to rent it from my peers, then I can drive a different car. And so we've got sort of a considerable increase in variety as well, in addition to people reducing the amount of stuff in their lives and people being able to make money off the stuff that they actually own.
So what are the drivers here? Is it population? Is it lack of space or reduced space in real estate, in apartments, in cities, density in city living that's driving this on some level?
The timing of this it's actually interesting to think about why it's happening now. All of the points that you brought up are certainly drivers of why sharing is a good value proposition. You know, it works in densely populated urban areas. For the first time in, I think, recent history, we are actually seeing an influx of people into cities, especially people of the millennial generation. But I think why it's happening now is a combination of two or three factors. One is that we've got these powerful mobile devices that we carry around in our pockets all the time. We've got social media and sites like Facebook that facilitate a greater level of trust between peers. And so, you know, I can more safely rent something from someone who I don't really know rather than simply sort of renting it or borrowing it from my friends. And I think we've also gotten comfortable with the idea of getting stuff on the other side of the internet because we've been using peer-to-peer file sharing networks for over a decade.
And these reinforce the idea that the ownership of something is a transitory experience. It's something that you only need for the occasion. The actual ownership of the thing that requires storage becomes less intuitive, and add to that the idea that we're recycling more. So the idea that you can use something that is used is much more a natural impulse.
That's true. I mean, I think there's a much greater level of comfort that people have with the idea that usage is not the same as ownership. They're certainly driven in part by, you know, the trend of moving, even in the digital space, from owning music to renting it, So that level of comfort is certainly there that, it doesn't have to be mine for me to use it. And in fact, if it's not mine, then my choice is expanded dramatically because instead of 2,000 songs, I've got 15,000. Instead of 500 books, I've got a million. And so, that notion that sharing doesn't imply an inferior consumption experience, but a superior one, I'm starting to see that among the sort of the early adopters of the sharing economy.
So a projection of wealth because of your access to far more consumer goods, but less cash outlay to actually own this. Does the implication for retail, is it dire? Does it kill retail? Does it kill closet organizer businesses? I mean, what are the implications as this ripples through the economy? Because we're moving beyond early adopters now.
What history really suggests is this kind of technology-driven change, which makes production more efficient, which makes the producing of stuff possible with less, will always, in the long run, expand the economy.
Arun Sundararajan is a professor at New York University's Stern School of Business, an expert on the sharing economy. Thanks so much, Arun.
Well, thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.